Hosanna, we are saying, come save us, come save us, come save us, come have your way with us. Hosanna. Our scripture affirmation today comes from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, starting at the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
We want to comfort each other today with the word of God. We want to comfort each other today. Dear Lord, let your word come forth this day. Let your word drape over us. Let your word fill us. Let your word be prominent in our ear and in our heart and in our mouth. Let your word have your way in this place, this day, for your glory. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The sight it must have been. What a sight it must have been. There he is, this one that everyone had been talking about. He's a miracle worker. He's this one who has been saying things that were just mystifying and amazing and doing things that left all of the countryside in awe and angered all the institutional types. It just he was just something, and they hadn't been able to corral him. They hadn't been able to stop him, and they were amazed. And here, this one who had been really kind of in some ways pulled away from everyone, makes a grand entrance. He comes in. Well, it says it best here in Scripture in the 21st chapter of Matthew. And when they drew nigh, they is the disciples and Jesus, when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say anything to you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude, now imagine this picture, a great multitude, lots and lots of people, a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who could this be? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So he starts out in this amazing way. He comes and he does this great, great, great thing. He's there and everybody is celebrating. And not too long later, he would be dead. Dead. Murdered. Killed. Not too long later. Can you imagine that? That someone who was being held as king, someone who was being thought of as royalty, someone everybody was saying, hey, come save us. That everybody was just happy that this one had come, and a week later, he'd be in a tomb. Dead. Have you ever noticed that sometimes our dreams don't turn out the way that we expect them to, or at least in the middle of them, they are just frustrating. There are things that go on and you go, wow, this is really not what I had hoped for. You go, wow, this is really a difficult situation. This is really hard. You know, I just hadn't expected it to be this way. I can think of parents that who have had to bury their children. They just didn't expect it to be that way. No, Lord, how could it be that my children would go before me? There are those who were so attached to their parents and had spent the last years just building their lives around their parents and being with them and finding themselves closer than they'd ever been to them, and feeling this camaraderie that maybe they really hadn't had in earlier times, and then suddenly the parent is gone, and oh, it hurts so much. And then you think of those who have served faithfully over the years, and they were nice people, and you enjoyed their presence, and then you watch them and they go through difficult times, and then they die. And you're wondering, what's it all about, Lord? How do I deal with this? What do I believe now? You know, sometimes when you're hurting, you have to ask yourself the honest question, what do I believe now? What do I believe now that it hurts? What do I believe now that it's not what I expected it to be? What do I believe now that it's tough? What do I believe when it's not going the way that I would have chosen for it to go? What do I believe now? Is there something that I can hold on to that will allow me to experience the life that God has promised me? What do I believe now? How can I persevere? I've seemed to have had lots of patience going through all of this stuff. What do I believe now? Is there something that I have a reason to have self-control for? What do I believe now? Can the goodness of God even be seen in my life? What do I believe now? Why should I have faith? Why should I believe that God is and he rewards those who diligently seek him, when I don't feel like I'm being rewarded, but there's a slow, painful subtraction going on in my life. What do I believe now when I don't seem to have peace? And when I go to close my eyes, they pop back open with thoughts and ideas and concepts that I just don't grab. And what do I believe when I don't have the joy that I'm supposed to have, that joy that strengthens me, that joy that keeps me going? What do I believe? What do I believe now when love has been so fragile? Love has faltered. What do I believe now? That must have been how the Thessalonians were feeling after Paul had come and preached to them, and they had believed. They had actually believed that Jesus Christ was Lord, and they'd seen so much so quickly. They'd seen so much that was amazing, so much, and they had this deep felt, deep-seated belief, but there were questions that they had to have. First of all, Paul got chased away from them and was gone and was separate from them, and the things and the places that they had been that seemed to be their safe haven, well, they weren't safe. And the people that they had depended upon weren't safe. Things had changed so very quickly. And Paul, knowing how they felt, knowing that these young believers, these people who had actually believed, but they were having questions. They didn't expect that one to die. They didn't expect. Well, you know, I know that intellectually you told me that there would be suffering, but I didn't know it would feel like this. You know, there's a lot of things that you know intellectually, but boy, it's a whole different thing when you're feeling it yourself. You know, it's one thing to say that our fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love and then have to stand up against that fear, stand up against the pain and hurt and things that go on in life. It doesn't mean you don't do it, but now you understand the reality of what that means. So these Thessalonians are now feeling the reality here in the fourth chapter. And Paul is writing back to them to encourage them. And today, my desire is that you would be encouraged, not by me, but by the Word of God. The Word of God that has sweet and precious promises. The Word of God, which is real and alive and moving in your life, if you will receive it today. The Word of God that says in the fourth chapter, starting at the 13th verse, but I would have not have you to be ignorant. Don't be uninformed. Don't be uninformed about what is going on around you. Don't be uninformed about what God is doing in the midst of all of this. Not ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, concerning those who have died. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We all will sorrow. We will all shed tears. We will all feel hurt. We will all be frustrated. We will all go through things that we would have not chosen to go through. We will all have to deal with this. All who will live godly shall suffer persecution. There's no doubt about that. But even though all of us will suffer pain and hurt, we don't have to do it as those that don't understand that you can come out on the other side. This is a temporary thing. We don't have to suffer as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, he went to the cross after being born of a virgin, living in human skin, a sinless life. He did wondrous things, amazing miracles, taught many, turn water to wine, healed the sick, healed the lame, healed those with withered limbs. He brought the dead back to life. He did all of this without sin, so that he could be that lamb, that perfect lamb that was the sacrifice, that perfect lamb that was the sacrifice to the Father, that perfect lamb that was a sacrifice to the Father that would pay for our sins, because blood needed to be spilled. Blood needed to be spilled to pay for our sin, to pay for my horrid sin, to pay for the way that I had messed up. But it was enough not just to pay for what I had done in the past, not just for what I'm doing in the present, but all out into eternity. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. His blood was spilled. This one, I believe that he died for me. For if we believe that Jesus died, but he rose again. He got up out the grave. He rose again. He demonstrated that he was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There was none other like him. God all by himself. He got up again. He rose again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, others would have to die as well. Even those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. He's coming again. And I want to be clear, when you die, your body is separated from your soul, and your soul is with Jesus. He is in heaven. He is God. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, if he happens to crack the sky while I'm preaching this sermon, which would be kind of cool, if he happens to come now, we which are alive, if he happens to come before I close my eyes in death, if we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, not go before, not be ahead of them. They won't be left out. Those who have died in Jesus. That's why it's so. Do you realize this is why it's so important for you to share with your friends and family Jesus? This is why you should share with even those lost folk that you don't like Jesus. Because this is not for them if they don't know Jesus. I know that's a tough thing to say. But it is the truth. That's, you have purpose on this life. You have purpose to let your light so shine among men that they might see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And the way you glorify him is to accept him as Lord and Savior. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of an archangel. Archangel's going to say, here he is. And here's Jehovah. Here he is. He's the king. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. We that remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to be reunited with their bodies. They'll be fashioned a new body. We do not have to worry about the aches and pains or whether it was burnt up or whether it was spread over the water. Don't worry about that. Just know that he will fashion you. He will make you into what you've always supposed to be. He will make you. You don't know what he's going to make you in the end, but you know you'll look like him. Verse 17, then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How cool is that? Always with him. Always with him. Never. Always aware of his presence. Wouldn't it be nice to know that he's always with me? That in the midst of my worst times, he's with me. When I messed up, he's with me. When I do really, really good, he's with me. Every once in a while, not as often as I like, I do something that I think is special and important. And I wish my daddy were here. You know, I just want to turn and tell him, hey, oh, shucks, he's not here. But there will come a day when the one who loves me, the one who I call Father, will be there with me all the time. The one who I call brother, he will be there with me all the time. I will be aware of his wondrous presence. The one who is the Spirit, who fills me and animates me, he's with me all the time. I will be in community with him, in celebration of him all the time, and he's always there, and it's always exciting, and it's always good, and it's always calming, and it's always all it should be, always, 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 forever and ever, because he loves me, because he cares for me, and because he can. He can do it. He's good. And this one will be with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now tell me, if you know him, doesn't that comfort you? If you know him, you can trust him. You don't have to worry about anything. One of my favorite scriptures. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. He's good, rejoice. Rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice. He's calling you today. Rejoice. He knows your name. Rejoice. Rejoice. But you can't rejoice if you don't know him. Demonstration of that you know him is that you would confess with your mouth. You would agree with him, and you would say, I am in need of a Savior. Although I've done some particular things, part of it, I need a Savior just because I'm a part of the human race. I was born into Adam's race, and Adam and Eve sinned, and my heritage from them is that I am a sinner. And because of that, because of what has gone on before, plus, quite frankly, I have sinned. I have done wrong. I have made mistakes. I've done some on purposes. And I've done these things that are against the truth of the Word of God. And since I have done these things that are against the truth of the Word of God, there needs to be a penalty, a just penalty paid. And if I don't have that penalty paid, I am due the wrath of God, the separation from him throughout all eternity, the loss of the benefit of his presence, the sense of the horror of a world without God. All of that would be due me. But the reality is that the price has been paid. And so I agree with God that there needed to be a price paid, and I agree with God that the price was paid by Jesus on the cross. And because that price was paid, we make the great exchange. I give to him my filthy rags, and he gives to me his name. He gives me him. He allows me to understand that I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and died for me. I live because he lives. I live and he is animating me even this day. I'm his. So I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Savior, but he's also my Lord. He's earned the right to say what is and what isn't, when and when not, how, where, and even if. He is God. Do you say that today? Have you agreed with God that Jesus Christ is Lord? He's calling you this day. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. He wants you to be who you are made to be. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because it's another day for you to give yourself totally to him. Will you do that today? Would you bow your head with me? Some might want to pray this. Dear Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for saving me. Honestly, Father, I have been hurt. Sometimes my pain seems unbearable. But I believe if I give myself to you, that you will deal with all of that in due time. And I am comforted. I am comforted with the knowledge of you, even though there are those that I've lost, even though there's pain. Today, Lord, I trust you've got me. That you have it all under control. So thank you. For delivering me. For changing me. Take me from where I am to wherever you want me to go. As long as where you want me to go is with you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today is the day. The altar is open to you. But even right there in your seat, make sure that you are at peace with the Lord. This is your day.